Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot. Whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever, that's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm going to be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
Fabulous. Thanks. And indeed, welcome to the importance of embodiment and to Taylor Brown. Thanks for your offering to the Embodiment Conference, Taylor. For those that are joining us, this workshop is Sound as a Tool for Embodiment and Pleasure. Taylor is a sound and somatic therapist combining tools, sound therapy, vocal coaching, sexological bodywork, love that word, embodied counseling, womb work, bodywork, and shamanic practices. She was also an opera singer for many years. If you check out her Facebook website, you'll hear her singing, which is beautiful, before moving into the healing arts and embodied therapies. Her current study is a 3-year course in somatic experiencing. Taylor loves working with women to explore in depth the connection between throat and womb, and is a witness for others to find their own unique vocal fingerprint and soul resonance. Beautiful words, Taylor. Taylor's passionate about us coming home to our body's wisdom and breaking frontiers with sound and sexuality, where we can once again have a voice without shame or retribution. Thank you so much for this offering, Taylor, and I invite everyone to enjoy this offering for the Embodiment Conference. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for that introduction. So my name is Talia, and it's a real pleasure to be here with you today. So as Janine said, I am a sound and somatic therapist based in New Zealand. So I'm going to talk a little bit to start with, and then we're going to go more into some practice together. So I think we often learn best by doing it. So I'm just going to invite us all to start by taking a couple of breaths together and just finding a sound on the out breath. Maybe just a sigh or a sound on the out breath. Just noticing what's in the body right now, if anything. So as in the introduction, I have a background in classical singing and more laterally have come much more into somatic therapy using the voice. And during all my trainings that I did, I became very fascinated with the connection that we have between our throat and our sex. And so I did a lot of research on that. And what I'm going to share with you is that some pictures of the actual connection between the two. So in my research, what I found out that in a female embryo, the vocal cords and ovaries are actually one organ that split into two as the embryo develops. So I found that really fascinating, so that there's this biological link between the two. So that's why it can be so important to make sound when you are giving birth, to help open the cervix. And you know, for many of us, we have a lot of stories around these two areas, a lot of sometimes trauma, and sometimes, yeah, they're places where we can hold a lot. So I'm all about coming back to using these natural tools that we have in our body for embodiment and pleasure. So I'm just going to start by sharing my screen and find this. No, it's not that. So Helen, I can see you. Can you give me a thumbs up if you can? Yeah, great. Okay, so here we go. So here's a picture you can should be able to see of the larynx and the uterus. So what I want you just to take in is just looking at the visuals of this and just seeing what you notice as you take this in. So seeing the connection, the correlation here. And I'm just going to scroll down. I've got some other images as well. So here's our vocal cords and our vulva. Just looking again at that. So this pelvic floor connection with the throat. Here's another one of the vocal cords and the pelvic floor. Just seeing the musculature here. And here's the last one, the cervix and the throat, which is connected by the vagus nerve. So yeah, it's a beautiful thing to be able to use sound when we are in our lovemaking or just generally, because it does help to open this area as well. So I'm just going to stop that share now, come back. Yeah. So you might want to put something in the chat about what you noticed just from seeing those pictures. Some of you may have seen them before. So yeah, it's really fascinating for me, this link, and something that I think it's really important for us to know about. So we can think of the voice as an erotic organ. It's inherently an erotic organ. And that might kind of sound kind of weird to say that, but if you really start to feel into this link between the two, you can see why you could call it this. So, you know, other things that I found fascinating was that, you know, our Latin words that we use for our sex, for example, the labia means lips, or the lingam, which is another word for the penis, means tongue. And our cervix actually means neck. So we start to hear in these Latin words the correlation. So yeah, the other thing I want to comment about is that for a lot of us, when we're using our voice, it's often for a lot of us very stuck or held, or sometimes there's some trauma there. And so we've lost those natural reflexive responses that we inherently have as babies. So when we are little babies, we're inherently in contact with our senses in this primordial language. And through sound, we're very tuned into our emotions and vibration. And then as words and language start to come in, and we're told to be quiet, we're told that we're too loud, we're told not to say that, all those kinds of things, when we start to sing and we're told to just mime the words instead of sounding. So all of these things that we're carrying in our body, and it can be difficult. So this kind of reflexive responses that we've inherently, a lot of us have lost. And so the way I work is that allowing us to start to uncover, take away the layers, strip away, and come back to what is this natural, authentic sound that we have that's often got a lot of masks on it because of our social conditioning. So that's what I would invite us to explore today. So let's just take a breath into that. Take a moment. And you may have had some things arise already as I'm talking about this. So I'm going to invite us just to do something practical to start to feel this in our body. And I might do a little bit more talking after that. So just inviting you to get comfortable wherever you are and just to take a moment just to be with your body before we start. Just inviting you to start to feel for your voice in your body. So starting to use the breath, come in contact with the breath, and just feeling for your voice in the body. And you don't have to know what that means. Just inviting you to feel for it. Feel for your throat. Start to feel for this connection between the throat and the pelvic floor and your sex. Just intend to feel for it. So when we say intend, we're not needing to achieve it. So we're just getting curious. So this invitation is just to get curious and see what shows up. So just inviting you maybe just to start with a little bit of shaking and movement in the body, just finding a way to start to move the body. You might want to start to make a little bit of sound as you do that. Just inviting you to feel for fluidity in the neck. I see the neck as a bridge between the head and the body. So see, this is a really important part to explore. Sometimes this is a place where we're holding a lot in our neck. So just feeling for fluidity in the neck. You might want to massage it a little bit. Connecting to the vagus nerve here, which activates when we start to make sound and breath. And just inviting you to start to create space. Feel for space here in the face. So we're inviting a lot of spaciousness into the body so that we can really feel the voice in the whole body. So staying with opening the mouth and moving the jaw around. Feeling for all these resonators that we have in the body, the tongue, the teeth, the lips, all these bones here in the face, the skull, the spine. So feeling like every part of our body is a resonator. So just moving this around. One of the biggest things I find often in working with people with their voices, it can often feel quite difficult for them to actually open their mouth. And even when taking in the breath, sometimes I invite the mouth to open as you breathe in, just to allow for the breath to lower in the body, to go lower in the body. Doesn't mean you have to do that all the time. So just noticing if you are opening your mouth, just noticing how it feels to create some space here. And just inviting you as you do that now, just to think of maybe like a yawn. So breathing in and yawning for up to 5 seconds. I'm just allowing for this little bit of sound on the out breath. So really the yawn helps to start creating space in the throat. So for a lot of us to start to really start to feel the sound in our body, we want to start to feel the spaciousness in the throat. And for a lot of us, that can be very held and tight. So feeling for the yawn. And so I work a lot with just creating spaciousness and starting to feel the sound all around. You're almost like a sphere around the body. So just one more of doing this with a yawn. I'm just letting the jaw relax. So noticing if the jaw feels a little bit tight. Noticing if the neck feels like it has some fluidity or if it feels quite held. So what do you notice in your body as you're doing this? And just inviting you to do a little bit of vibration with your lips. So thinking of it almost like a fire engine or a fire siren. So we're creating this vibration in the body. Let's do a little bit of the lion posture. So often the tongue is a place where we can hold a lot. So particularly the back of the tongue can be quite held towards the throat. So just inviting a little bit of and in New Zealand, we have the haka, which is where they do this kind of lion's posture in the haka. So just inviting this tongue to come out. So we're trying to create space here. This is the intention of this, is to create space. For many of us, this can feel quite difficult initially. So you're welcome to put some, I'm going to just have a look at the chat and see what's coming up for people. I can see this. Okay. Yeah, so you're welcome to put anything that you're noticing in the chat. I'd love to read your comments. Thank you so much, Lusa. We're going to start by just doing a little bit of breath as well. So I'm just going to give you a simple breath exercise. So the breath is the anchor for the voice. It's, you know, we really want to become aware of what's happening with breath. And for a lot of you, you would have maybe been on some other of these where you've been doing some breath work. So I'm just going to do something simple today, because the diaphragm is often a place that can be quite locked for a lot of people. And actually they're pulling in the diaphragm instead of letting it go down and out like a balloon expanding. So just a simple exercise to use for this one is think of inhaling through a small straw through the lips. So this should help you start to engage the lower abdominal muscles. So on the in-breath, I'll just do that once more. So, and what I notice as I do that is I really feel for all these muscles around the back as well, expanding all the intercostals. I really feel this expansion around my back as well. So as we breathe in and we draw in through that small straw, on the out breath, just inviting you to do this. On an S, and to really extend the out breath so that we're going into more parasympathetic functioning. So breathing in. And just see if you can do that for as long as you can. And you want to feel when you take in the breath again, that it's a kind of yielding, that you're not grasping for the breath, that you're just letting the body open to the breath. So it's a natural cycle that happens, and expanding the out breath and just letting the in breath naturally come into the body. So this trying to feel for this breath as we make sound, because that will really influence the sound that you're going to make. Yeah, and to think of the pelvic floor also as a second diaphragm. So as we start to access these lower abdominal muscles, we should also feel like the pelvic floor, the expansion in the pelvic floor as well, which when we're starting to activate that and vibrate that, we're allowing for more pleasure in the body. So we're going to do a simple exercise. And I'd love you to put any questions or comments in the chat, because I'll refer to that after the exercise. So we're gonna break down the sound of om. We're gonna break it down, and then we're gonna end with om, but we're gonna start by really breaking down the different sounds of om. So what I'm gonna invite you to do is we're gonna start with the sound of ah, and you're gonna place your hands on the lower belly. So you're feeling for this in the base of your spine and your lower belly. So we're gonna just do three sounds on the sound of ah, and really inviting again for you to start to feel for the spaciousness in the face, to allow the body to move. So one of the things I work with a lot is movement in the body as you're making sound, because what I notice for a lot of people is that when they often make sound, they become very still and fixed, and that can often be a way of keeping the mind very involved as well. And what I'm really inviting you to do is to allow movement in the body, so that it can't, the sound is coming from the body and letting more cognitive thinking go. So that we inviting the breath in and placing the hands on the lower belly and sounding out on ah. And as I do this again, I'm going to really feel for the sphere of sound around my body. So I'm vibrating into my back, I'm vibrating all around me. And I'm feeling like my sound is like constantly in motion, like thinking of it like a river flowing. So it's always in motion. It's never static or still. We're wanting to feel for a constant expansion of the vibration. So one more time. Taking a couple of breaths and just seeing what you notice in your body, if anything, as you've made that sound. So just stopping to feel for sensation. And now, felt that at the base of your spine, beautiful. So now we're going to move up into the heart. And we're going to place our hands on our heart, and we're going to sound more of an ooh sound, more of an ooh. So just inviting you to really bring the lips into really influence the sound. So placing the hands on the heart and feeling for the sound of ooh. And just in your own time, starting the sound. Ooh. So letting the body move as you do this. I want to really invite movement in the body. So, and I want you to keep feeling for this channel happening between the mouth and the throat and down into to the base. So a couple more times, the sound of ooh. Ooh. Feeling for the spaciousness as you take in the breath, feeling for the yawn as you take in the breath. One more time. Yeah, so it's okay to not feel comfortable with moving the body. If our body's very used to being in a set pattern, this may take some time. It's just a practice. The mind might find it hard to let go, because when we do move more in the body, it does become a little bit more reflexive and not so controlled. So just noting that. So one more time to the sound of ooh. 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 beautiful. And then the last one that we're going to do is on the sound of a long M. So we're feeling for this in the face and the skull. Thank you. So this time is on the sound of and I notice that my body's getting warmer as I'm doing this as well. There's another thing that I'm noticing. So three more on the sound of So here we go. Just taking a moment to feel for the body, any sensations that you're noticing. Remembering that we're activating vagus nerve, parasympathetic functioning. The whole of my chest resonates. So now we're going to put that all together, sounding the aum. And feeling for the expansion of the and just again intending delightful tingling. That's awesome. Yay. So, you know, just feeling for this tingling, and then that's 5 minutes of doing that, right? So, you know, imagine if you did this for 15, 20, 30 minutes, what could start to happen in the body, bringing more oxytocin into the body. So let's just do this a few times and really feeling for that expansion of the three together. And again, just intending to feel it throughout the whole body. So we intending, we don't need to achieve it. So in your own time, when you're ready. Just a couple more. Taking a moment to rest that in the body, perhaps closing your eyes, seeing what you notice, if anything. Love to see what's happening for you in the comments. Yeah. Beautiful, Kevin. I often think of like the breath being like a little buoy on the water. So it's bobbing up and down on the water. So if there's too much tension or it feels stuck, it won't have movement. If anyone has any questions, I'm really open to that as well. Okay, so I prefer not to do too much talking, so it means no lithium for the same time. I'm going to talk a little bit about the vagus nerve, just so you have that in your awareness. So as I mentioned it before, the vagus nerve, it's the major nerve of the parasympathetic division of the autonomic nervous system. It's the longest cranial nerve in the body. And so when we are doing this kind of breathing and sounding, we are activating the vagus nerve. And so that's really useful for that rest and digest. It also really helps regulate our heart rate, blood pressure, our digestion, and our sexual arousal. So you can also massage the vagus nerve as well. There are videos on YouTube how to do that. But it's really important, like, just to have these natural tools to use so that in our everyday functioning, you know, sometimes if you are feeling a little low or tired or whatever it is, you can just do 10 minutes of humming, of just this simple kind of sounding. And it's amazing what can change in the body from doing just simple things like this. So also I really want to encourage, I work a lot, you know, one of the things I do is sexological body work. So it's working as a sex therapist, but more somatically. And one of the things that often is one of the last frontiers for people is in using sound in their, you know, in their sexuality. And again, what I want to say around that is often when we are a little stuck in one place, we're going to be stuck in the other. So by really starting to engage and activate this area, we're also activating the other. So I really encourage you to do sounding in your pleasure practice or lovemaking, because it's a way of really inviting more pleasure into the body. Yeah, and there's absolutely a lot of sound around, a lot of shame around sound, totally, and sometimes for understandable reasons. But also knowing as well that in our sexuality, you know, being able to use sound is part of consent as well. So often when we might not be in consent or we might have some kind of sexual trauma, what can often happen is that whole kind of freeze response where also we don't have a voice, we lose our voice. So it's just bringing awareness to this piece, and it's a natural response that happens in the body. So as we start to work more with consent as well and our yeses and nos, we're also inviting us to be able to use our voice more. Yeah, no, I'm just hearing someone say that it's difficult to make sound in a shared living situation. I totally understand that. So I guess you've got to find your own ways of being able to do that. Yeah, however that looks. And I guess you've got to, making sound into the back of the hand absorbs almost all of it. Was there a question? Oh, okay, I've got a question, okay. Is it going to be useful for me to read the question out, Janine?
Yes, probably. If you'd like me to read it to you, but yes, so then they know what you. Everybody can see it, but it's helpful.
Oh, everyone can see it? Okay, I wasn't sure if they could or not.
Yeah.
Okay, so talking about if the same sides of the body correlate with the biological similarities, if your left side of your throat is more closed than the right, might this correlate with the left side of the pelvis? It's not something I've actually ever thought about. I don't know, Amy, if that's coming from feeling like the left side of your throat is more closed than the right. Uh, I honestly don't know the answer to that. And I would, that could well be a possibility. And I guess I would invite you to feel for that in your own body as well. If that is something that is happening for you, I guess I would invite you to feel for that in your body too. But if anybody else has anything else around that, you're welcome to put that in the chat as well. I'm just going to have a look at seeing if there's anything else. Okay, so there's one more question here that I'm going to talk into before we go into another practice. So how do you specifically work with trauma and sound with breath? The way that I work with it is I would say that I titrate. And so titrate is working with it slowly and gently and in small segments. So it depends on the person. So I would work quite gently and slowly with it to start with, because the sound can be a place where people hold a lot of trauma. Some people, you know, may have been choked, all kinds of things. So I would just very slowly and gently work with it and get them to just keep noticing what's happening in their body. Maybe just making small amounts of sound if that feels okay, or even just to be with their throat and see what they're noticing as you bring awareness to the breath. Like it can be started, sometimes for people it can take 2 or 3 sessions before they can even start to make sound. So if there is trauma there, and depending on how severe it is, it's really coming back to just being as present in the body as we can be, and then and titrating it is what I would say is titrating it. So working with it in small amounts, and then coming back into the space, into the room, and talking, and talking as well as working somatically, because sometimes people can only take so much. Working with somatically, it's not going to be beneficial to work with it too deeply initially. So we're going to do another practice before we come back to some more questions. So what I'm going to invite you to do, so just reiterating the things that we have been working with. So I'm going to keep inviting you to feel for movement in the body, because as we move, we also move our voice. So often when we're very conditioned in the Western world to kind of stand up straight and sing, it also means that our voices can be very much like that. So the more that we can invite spaciousness, opening, yawning, moving the body, the more that we're inviting openness and vibration in the body. So we're going to just sound to the sound of home. We're just going to feel for home in the body, the sound of home. So just inviting that word home into the body. And again, what I would say as we're sounding this is to keep feeling for what's happening in your face, what's happening in your jaw, what's happening in your neck, what's happening down in your base. So we're going to do this for a few minutes so that you can really feel for it. And I might just add a couple of things in as we do it. So just getting yourself in a comfortable place. And when you feel ready to start, to the sound of home. So this is a place for you to get curious and playful with it. Don't get attached to getting it right. So we're very conditioned in our cognitive world to get it right. So it's more a place of you really feeling for that sound in your body, the sound of home. So here we go. Home. You might want to play with the sound, so go up and down on different notes. It doesn't have to be on the same note. Om. So asking your body what note it wants to make. Let your body determine what note it makes. Om. Letting the shoulders move a little. Sure, if you're asking me if you need to harmonize Andy, but yeah, I'm not sure quite what you're saying to me. Let's keep going. Om. So the intention of this exercise is really just to see what you're noticing in your body more than anything. So staying with the sound of home and just getting curious about noticing how it feels to really feel the sound in your body as opposed to listening to someone else and what that brings up for you if you can't harmonize. So this is an invitation more to be really inviting you to really feel for the sound in your body. Sometimes people find it hard when they hear other people's voices to stay in their own sound. So just noticing that, that's okay. But the purpose of this really is to be feeling for the sound in your body. So just a couple more minutes feeling for this and just feeling for ways that you can keep exploring it, seeing if you can feel the vibration right down into your base, into your feet. So feeling for every cell of your body as a resonating chamber, every part of your body to be resonating. Just taking a moment again to feel for the body, feel for sensation, see what you're noticing, temperature, touch, vibration, mood, emotion, getting curious about what's showing up for you and inviting you to put that in the chat. Okay, so yeah, just noticing how that was for you. Oftentimes, as I mentioned, sometimes people are in a space and they're very used to sounding the right note or the wrong note. So with really coming back to this embodied voice, it's really starting to really feel for the sound in your body. And as I say, sometimes that is really around stripping away and taking away, because we're very conditioned in our world to hear all the sound out there and not always the sound within. So just attuning to that and noticing that, and that's okay, whatever your experience was is fine. But today is really a place to get curious and playful with it, not to get the right note or the right sound. Because often this is how we can really start to find our own organic sound, our own authentic voice, our own note, is by this kind of listening and coming back to the body. So that's what I really want to invite in this. And this is the practice that you can, these really, really simple kind of exercises. Sometimes it's often about really slowing down and really feeling for is where the best learning is for the body. So we've got a... Okay, so I'm just hearing here Phil saying, when I do a lot of talking, I get quite drained. I want to get curious about that. I probably would want to ask more questions around that, Phil, like why you feel like you might be getting drained. If you were asking me that in person, I'd probably have quite a few questions around that. So maybe you can put in the chat a little bit more about what you experience in your body in terms of what drained means for you. And I'll come back to you before we finish. Maybe just expand on it a little bit more. Lee's got a question here. What exercises would you suggest to practice diaphragmatic singing and breathing? I won't go too much into that today because I'm more, but I'll say a little bit. Because I don't want to get too much into technicality, but you can practice simple things like lying on the floor and putting some books on your belly and just noticing, you know, feeling for them to expand. So as you breathe in, you want to feel that the books move up. That can be a way to really feel for that diaphragmatic. You can also lean against a wall and have your back on the wall and the knees soft. And feel as well like you're breathing into the back of the wall, really feeling for the feet on the floor. And yeah, also just that simple exercise that we did today, like so yeah, just for you to practice that one as well. And I'm just going to finish with answering, yeah, lots of water. Yeah, that's a good one.
So, Leah, there was also one other question that might have got lost in the chat, and you might not have time to speak to this, but someone asked, how did you become involved in this work, and did your own history lead you here?
I think. Sure, I can answer that. So okay. I'll finish with Phil's question. Yeah, so totally, Phil, I would say I've worked in a call center myself, so I can kind of understand that one. So what I would, definitely drinking lots of fluids, but what I would say is to notice what, if your body's getting held in certain positions, and so it's like the body's not getting a chance to kind of breathe in the way and have that movement and vibration. And so things start to sort of feel a bit stuck. You know, it's like if you're sitting in front of a computer for 8 hours a day, you might get yourself into certain positions or postures all the time. And then there's no room for the body to be oxygenated in a way. So maybe it might be just a matter of taking a few minutes to just do a bit of deep breathing and humming and letting the body move, and doing a bit of shaking is really good for the body in terms of energizing as well. Like there's a thing called tray, which people might be familiar with. So shaking. And just to answer the last question around how did I get into this work? I grew up in a family where I wasn't really allowed to have, I didn't feel like I could have a voice, and my speaking voice, I found it very difficult to have a voice in my family. And so I would become quite introverted and more inward. But singing was something that was my way that I could express. It was my way to have a voice, if you like. And I could always sing from the time I was a little child, like it was a natural expression that I had. And so it was a resource for me in terms of me, being able to have expression in the world. But it's a piece that I've journeyed really, really deeply with myself, like really deeply with. And so I have a lot of empathy around working with people in this place because it comes from my own embodied experience. Just to finish on that note, like I do a lot of work online and I work somatically. So I think that what I offer is the balance of having a lot of years and years of classical training, but now really bringing that into a more place of working somatically. So rather than kind of me giving you necessarily lots and lots of scales and exercises, what I find is really useful and really effective for you to start to really find your voice is often for you to really come back to the body and feel it, because it's so easy in this world to just find another thing out there, another external thing, if we can't really feel what's happening in our own body, that's not necessarily going to be really useful. So that combination really of having the classical training with the somatic experiencing, I find is really effective. I do have a website, which I think I put in the chat at the start, but you can probably just Google my name and you'll find me online as well. I just really invite you to keep being curious and playful, because you'll be amazed at what you can discover if you keep doing this as a practice. Sometimes simplicity, less is more, like sometimes the simplest things can be the most effective things. And one of the things that I also do is something called Voice of the Womb. So I work a lot with connecting the voice down to the womb, and there's seven gates of the womb and I connect them with seven gates of the voice. That's a really useful thing for women in terms of really coming into their power and embodied expression, I would say, and in terms of their sexuality as well. And in terms of women with childbirth as well, is what I would say. But also if it's a place where your voice just feels really stuck and you just want to explore it more. I mean, I work with a lot of women like that as well, from just that simple place. Fertility issues. And so, definitely I think this kind of using the voice with the womb and is really, really effective for working with vibration in this place. I think it's one of those places, it's one of those things that's going to become more and more a resource and a tool in the world, because I think that it's something that we kind of have lost, that we used to do in our ancient cultures, and I think it's really important to bring it back and use that inherent wisdom that we naturally have in our bones, is what I would say. Am I at time, Janine? Is there anything else?
Talia, what are we going for time? Yes, we're getting close. We could probably, if you wanted to pause, there's lots of thank yous and appreciations, and I'd love to explore that. So I'll go to your website because I'd love to explore more about the womb work. I think given that 1 in 10 women now are going via IVF for fertility, and I work a lot with couples with infertility shifting their blockages with somatic breath work and that, and I see that lovely connection between the throat and the womb. So I'll certainly pursue that a lot more, but certainly experience that sound when given a safe container is really valuable. So
totally. You can find that on my website. You can find the information about that. I do retreats called Voice of the Womb, and I also can work through several weeks working through each gate of the womb as well.
Right, that sounds fabulous. So maybe you can just pause and take a breath after all that wonderful energetic work that I so enjoyed. My body feels really alive for a Saturday in Sydney. And in a I'll just do some information, which is coming up in the chat, and then I'll come back to you, Talia, for the final word and your the giveaway that you would like to offer. And you can just check chat so that if there's anything else you want to speak to before we complete. But importantly, what I'd really like to do is invite you to check out the chat. Talia's web links are in there, but also after this session, you can go to the coffee break room and chat to other participants about this. You can go to the Facebook live feed. I checked on the website. Talia, you looked really wonderful. So that will be on there if you want to watch it again, or share it with someone that you think would be really interested. Importantly, what really makes it possible for this extraordinary conference that's reached hundreds of thousands of people worldwide is the purchase from by those that can or are in a position to of the library. So if you want to have a link and lifetime access to all of these over 1,000 talks, notes, information, personally, I consider it as a personal and professional development resource. So I look forward to digesting it over the next 12 months. Instead of tuning into our YouTube, we can go to your personal link to the library. So I strongly recommend that if you can do that. Also, too, there's a link in the chat and or on the website. A lot of people have felt that financially it's been a challenging year for them, but they'd like to donate something. So there is a link now where you can go and say, and you can imagine 400, nearly 500,000 people, you know, a dollar or something like that would be stupendous for Mark and the team to really not only cover everything, but go into abundance. So, Talia, but Talia, personally, that was so great. And from a sister across the seas, I really enjoyed those exercises and see how I could take them into my practice with people, but also certainly personally. And that insight around the womb and the throat was really valuable. So I invite you to share your last thoughts or what would be a sort of top tip giveaway to have everybody.
Well, I'm gonna, it's probably going to be just to make sound. So my top tip giveaway would be, like, you know, you can do this anywhere. You can do this in the car when you're driving to work. You can do this in the shower. You know, you can do this when you're in the garden, weeding. What, you know, anytime, just do some humming. Just even some simple humming is really effective, because we're very much in a, you know, we're just in this culture very much of muted, unless, you know, listening to the radio or, but like really come back to this place of feeling for your own sound, your own voice, and just hum, you know, it makes you happy. It makes you happy. It's got to be good for you. So I really want to endorse sound, because I think it is a place where people hold a lot, and sometimes it's difficult to know how to work with it, but the benefits of it are amazing.
Yeah, I concur. And I think doing the humming and the breathing and the sound exercise, Talia, for those whose verbal expression has been really limited, it's a way to sort of wake up that part of the system, isn't it? And then gradually ease into feeling more fully free to express. So
yeah, totally. Just start small. Start small, for sure. Yeah,
that's a beautiful expression. Start small and gentle. Stay kind and compassionate to yourself as you go along the way.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that really wonderful, rich webinar, Talia. It was really a delight to be present to you. I stayed really present in my body, alive with you the whole time. Breath is gold. And thank you so much for your contribution to the Embodiment Conference. Thank you for everyone coming worldwide. Please share the links. If you've got something valuable, please send them to the Embodiment Facebook Live, send them to Talia's website if you're in Australia or New Zealand or around the world. She works online as well. So please thank her, and greatly appreciated also to Deirdre. Wonderful work, Talia. Best wishes. I hope to connect with you sometime. I definitely love your work. Go well, everyone, and be gentle.
Thank you.
Thank you.